Hey, actually, just stay standing. Not for me. So stay standing. We're going to... And do you know, I know some of you, it was a little difficult to get into church this morning, but you know it's not meant to be easy to get into worship. Okay, we've created an environment where you think it's meant to be easy to get to church and easy to get in. And I know you had to fight your way through parking, but you just fought your way through 32,000 people that need to know Jesus Christ. Okay, so what we're going to do is you're going to turn around because the football ground is just over there. So turn around and face it. Hold your hands out. We're going to pray for them. And I think they're playing Coventry, am I right? Yeah, okay. So we're going to pray for both sets of fans because we're Christians, okay? But you can choose who wins, okay? So Lord Jesus, we thank you for the football ground. We thank you for the 32,000 people that are over there enjoying a football match, whether from Coventry or from Leicester, and we bless them. We bless them, Lord, and we pray that the atmosphere that has changed here as we've worshipped will change over the stadium. And that, Lord, that men and women and children would come to know you, Jesus. And as they pass this building, Lord, we pray that they would feel the presence and the glory of God. So bless them, Lord, we pray. Amen. Take a seat. It really is a privilege to be in this part of town. And I, as I said before, I know it's a little inconvenient sometimes, but God has placed us right in the center of a city to cause trouble, to disrupt the enemy's plans and to bring God's plans. Yes? Five of us, we're doing really good. And it's summer. So we've been talking over the last few weeks about preparing for the glory. We've said we enter his gates with thanksgiving. We've said we enter through the gates into his courts with praise. We come humbly dancing in joy into his presence. And we are blessed when we come before him hungry and thirsty. So what I want to talk today is I want to talk about our heart. Jesus says that the Father desires those who worship in spirit and in truth. When we come to Jesus, we surrender our lives to him for his life. So we lay our life down so that his life would come upon our life. And we invite his Holy Spirit in. And when the Holy Spirit comes into our life, he gives us a new heart. If you read the prophet Ezekiel, he talks about hearts of stone and hearts of flesh. And he takes our heart of stone, and at the cross and the resurrection, Jesus has won the victory for us to get this new heart so that we can enjoy the presence of God. But even with a new heart, we need to keep it soft and postured towards him. Otherwise, a heart can become unhealthy. So, find your Bibles. And we're going to read. I've been living in Psalms over the last few months. Find Psalm 95. Oh, it's not in the New Testament. Let's go in the Old Testament. There you go. Come, stand again. We're going to read the Bible. Up, down, up, down. Don't worry. Most of us need the exercise. This is the word of the Lord. Oh, come, let us... This is Psalm 95. Did I say that? Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. That literally means the mysteries of the earth are in his hands. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. I think one of the translations says he's the sculptor of the earth. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. When your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Amen. Take a seat. Verse 7. Today, if you will hear his voice, the Passion puts it this way, drop everything and listen to his voice. And if you don't get anything else today, drop everything and listen to his voice. And in this passage, I think there are three warnings, there are a number, but he says three things. He says, do not harden your heart, do not test the Lord, and do not go astray in your heart. Okay, so I want to talk about three things that can cause heart problems for the Christian that hinder us from worship in spirit and truth, and I think stop us experiencing the glory. So, the first one, unforgiveness. Do not harden your heart as in rebellion or Meribah. And if you look in verse 8, I don't know when you read your Bible, if you've noticed, there are little numbers and letters next to some of the words, and they're footnotes. And they try to focus us on where this is coming from and what is the context. And Meribah and Massa are the two, the place that Moses called, whether you remember when the Israelites were all complaining and they needed water and he struck the rock with his staff and water poured out for them. That's the places. And you see, the Israelites were thirsty. They were coming out of Egypt and there was no water. And what Meribah means is they quarreled amongst themselves. Do you know, we're getting larger as a church, which means there could be some quarreling amongst us. I mean, never, right? None of you would ever fall out with anyone, right? I thought so. You see, if we fall out, we have to forgive. You see, unforgiveness is a heart condition that hinders our worship. Quarreling normally happens when we feel hurt or overlooked. You know, sometimes I hear things like, well, he or she was chosen over me. Do you know, no one can be chosen over you. It doesn't matter whether it's in church or your workplace. Because as Christians, we take the lowest seat at the table anyway, right? And we wait for the Lord to invite us up. So we're in a place of, we take the humble place. We can't be passed over because it's not men that invite us to positions of power. It is the Lord and he invites us up the table. Or how about this one? I was having a hard time and no one checked in on me. Ever heard that one? And I often go, well, did you tell anyone? I did. I stood at the back in the dark with my arms folded looking miserable. The problem is everyone else is dancing at the front. And they don't see you there. And so if we're going through a hard time, follow the example of all the people worshiping and praising at the front. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, even if you're having a hard time. We're going to come to that. Well, I just don't like their opinions. I don't like what they say. I don't like, you know, what they think. You know, she is left wing and the Bible is obviously right wing. So I just don't like their opinions. Well, aren't you pleased that there's neither Jew nor Gentile, male, female, that we are all one in Jesus Christ with all of our crazy ideas and crazy opinions? Aren't you pleased? Or how about this one? Well, he said I was a fool. and you're not allowed to do that. And I always ask, you know, well, are you being foolish? The Bible talks a lot about that. Have you ever been in the situation where you're mixing with someone and they have an odour problem? They stink. And have you ever thought about all the nice ways you can tell them that they smell? There isn't one. One day, somebody has to go, you stink. Now, we do it as nicely as we can, because if no one tells them they stink, they're going to keep on stinking. And what happens is people are repelled from them because of the smell. And do you know what? Sometimes we hold a mirror up to people, and there's not an easy way to go, do you know, you're being a bit foolish here. And if you keep doing this, you're going to get into trouble. And you go, well, you didn't do it in the right way. Do you know there's no easy way to tell someone they're ugly? There just isn't. There's just no easy way of doing it. We can pussyfoot around, but one day we have to go, this, look in the mirror. I love the words of Jesus. By this, all of you will know that you are my disciples by the way you fall out with one another. You know that verse? I do often think that kind of could be church. He actually says, by the way you love one another. This is a Bible. In it, it's the words of Jesus. No, I'm just... Matthew 5, Jesus says, if you have a dispute, settle it before you come into worship. It's really interesting that Jesus, this thing of unforgiveness, this thing of hurt and pain and coming into the presence of God. Paul says it's better to be wronged. Why? Well, look, if you come into worship with the heart of Jesus, even if you've been wronged, you're forgiving them, and you may be carrying pain, but your heart is postured towards Him, you will come into His presence and His glory. You see, He is your defender. But if you come into worship on the attack, being a bit self-righteous, He'll go and defend them. Which one do you want? Him as your defender, or Him going to them and defending them? So Jesus says, if there's something wrong in your heart, or your brother has something against you, go, put it right, then come into worship. Number two, disappointment. The day of trial, or matter, which it means the place of test. Okay, so one of the greatest stories in the Old Testament is the wilderness wanderings. 40 years they wandered because they strayed with their hearts and did not know the Lord's ways. They complained about the food. They complained about the water. They complained about each other. They complained about Moses, about Aaron, but they didn't understand the test of the Lord. And so the trip that could have taken a few weeks took 40 years. And because it took so long, they became disappointed. Do you know anyone that lives in disappointment? Do you know people at work? They're just disappointed with life. Sometimes I meet Christians, they're just disappointed. His ways are, we enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. That's what we were doing this morning. No matter what is going on around us, we enter His presence with thanks and praise. I used to travel all the time. Literally 80% of my time was away traveling. I used to work with churches trying to help them grow. Most of them didn't want to grow, but they were nice to me. They loved me, and I was well loved in my circle. About 6 years ago, everything changed. And it felt like 30 years of our life was just erased in a moment. And the truth is that certainly for 5 years, I wasn't invited anywhere. And disappointment was in, I remember when all this was happening, just feeling the disappointment. Have we wasted 30 years of our life? What have we been doing? I did get one invitation. It was from Jesus. And he said, come and walk with me. Come and walk with me. And that's what we've been doing for the last 5 or 6 years. We've been walking with Jesus. And a few months ago, I was invited actually to speak at a conference, and I didn't. I said kindly no. One reason, because I didn't really feel I had anything to say, but instead I wanted them to come here. I said, just come here instead. You will learn way more by just coming here than having me at your conference. Why? Well, do you know, a couple of weeks ago, I was watching the playback. And do you remember when we started off with all the guys dancing at the front? Were some of you here that week? That was mad, wasn't it? And so the next day, I was just sitting watching it on the playback. And my eyes just filled up with tears of gratitude. Because never in my wildest dreams did I imagine the Lord would do this amongst us. Never in my wildest dreams did I think that the salvation, the healings, his presence, that he would do this with us. The worship, the joy, the dancing. A little church that no one knew or wanted to know, except the Lord. How did we get here? We entered his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. That's where he led us. He said, come and walk with me. You know, when the guys go out to worship and, you know, they get to do some large venues now, it's always harder than here. They always say we much prefer it at home. Why? Because the Lord has established his house here. He is with us, and we are experiencing his glory. That is what he's doing. You see, the Israelites were disappointed with the journey, so they grumbled against the Lord, and a whole generation never reached the destination. What was their mistake? They lived in disappointment, and they didn't treasure the presence of God. The presence of God was with them. His glory was manifest. It was in a pillar of cloud by day, by fire at night. The very manifest presence of God was with them, but they didn't treasure it. You'll often hear me say the journey is as important as the destination. Well, only when you take the Holy Spirit with you. It's his presence. The journey is so important when we take the journey with the Holy Spirit. You know, if you are in disappointment, there is one invitation you must take: Jesus. He'll take you by the hand and he'll say, walk with me. Walk with me. You see, their disappointment stopped them seeing the glory. Some of you have been waiting for a revival all your lives. It's here. He is here. He wants to manifest his glory amongst us. John 14. But we must take our eye off disappointment, because the journey is the way to his glory. Do you know, sometimes we find ourselves in enormous pain. But if we will walk in his presence with praise, he touches our pain and turns it into something beautiful. You know, 5 years ago, overnight, 200 people just left this church. They just walked out. One of the things I've always been thankful for is full chairs, not the empty chairs. You see, if I concentrate on the empty chairs, you preach to the empty chairs. but there's no one in the empty chairs to hear. So I'm always thankful for the full chairs, because they're the ones that can hear the word of the Lord, respond to it. You see, disappointment focuses on the loss, whereas thankfulness brings you into the realm of heaven. It is a heart decision. Which way is your heart going to look? Get it? Number three, almost done. Trials. As in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they saw my work. They shall not enter my rest. Jesus says, in this world, you will have trouble. It's one of the problem, it's one of the promises we don't put in the declaration. Oh, Lord, give us some more trouble this week. Okay, but it is one of the promises of the Bible. Okay, but the trials we go through are there to set our eyes on heaven and bring us into rest. Because when he says they won't enter the rest, that the passage means the rest I planned. They were going to the promised land. There was a rest for them. You see, our hearts go astray when they're off his works, what he does, and onto our works, what we do. The lesson to learn is that we find rest through the trial. Yeah, I love it. When the disciples were in the boat, the disciples, you know, some of them were fishermen. They were good at sailing. They were used to being in boats, and the storm just goes crazy around them, and the boat starts to sink, and they cry out, Lord, don't you care if we drown? You ever prayed that one? You liars, you have. Lord, don't you care I'm in this mess? Don't you care it's all going wrong? Don't you see what's happening to me? But what was Jesus doing? He was asleep. He was resting. There wasn't a problem in his camp. His end of the boat was fine. And they wake him up, and with a word, and literally the word, he says, peace be still, but it's really, shh. And all the wind and the wave just, shh, calm down. We went, shh, stop it. And he says to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they're like, whoa. What was the lesson? Who is this that even the wind and sea obey him? So where will we put our faith? You see, in the trial, he wants to teach us to look to heaven. We enter his courts in praise and we see his glory. And so we enter his rest. That's the lesson he wants to teach us. So what does it mean to worship in spirit and in truth? Well, firstly, do you remember we talked a few weeks ago, and we're going to finish in just a few moments. We talked about that often we come into worship distracted, you know, all the cares and things of the week, and that's fine because we come in and we praise. Well, what we do is that when we come in, we posture our heart towards heaven. It's a choice. All the things that have gone on this week, Jesus, here's my heart. I give it to you. I point it towards you. And I do it with thanksgiving. I thank you for the things that have been great this week. I thank you for your love for me. I thank you that your hand is on my life, even in the trial. Number two, if there's any quarreling in my heart, I go and put it right. Yeah, Jesus says, you're on the way to church and you remember that you've got a relationship out of sync. Go put it right. It doesn't, and then you come in with the heart of Jesus. Number three, lay down our disappointments. We are the sheep of his pasture. He is leading us into the secrets of the kingdom and the heights of the kingdom so that we can live in his pasture or his courts. He wants us to start to learn to live in his realm, not this earthly realm. He wants us to see things in a different way. And the trials and the disappointments bring us to that place because our eyes are on him. And then finally, I'm going to sing and shout for joy through every trial because I'm learning your ways, Lord. And that's a decision. No matter what happens, no matter where you lead me, I am going to shout and I'm going to holler and I'm going to call out to heaven because my hope is there, not here. And I'm going to learn how to come into your rest and live there. That's the goal. Paul says this, rejoice always. Church, rejoice always. Pray continually. Talk to him about everything. Give thanks in all circumstances. You're not giving thanks for the circumstance. You're giving thanks in the circumstance. So the circumstance we find, we just lift in our arms up. Lord, we love you. We thank you. Here we go. You know, I've watched people on a roller coaster. I don't know why they do it, but they get at the top. They know they're going to be put through absolute terror, and they lift their hands up to heaven and go, here we go, Lord. And then they scream all the way down. That's what Christians should be like. Okay, there's a trial coming. Here we go, Lord. Ah! And we're on. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is his will. That you would rejoice always. You'd pray continually. You'd give thanks in every circumstance so that we will come into his courts, and we will experience the life of God in our life.